In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with volume 19, May 18th, 1926. And here we see very clearly Jesus is explaining to, this is why I love the Book of Heaven. Jesus explains to Louisa basically what happened to Adam, what Jesus did for the redemption. So you have creation, redemption, and what God is going to bring about this era of sanctification, this new and divine way of holiness. And so our Lord in detail explains to Louisa the three fiats. And as we read this, as we study this, we become more aware of God's love for us, the love of Jesus and Mary, the newborn. We learn about Louisa, the newborn of the divine will, the firstborn of the divine will. We dive into this infinite ocean of love, and each day Jesus gives us lessons to help us understand this new and divine way of holiness. So on volume 19, May 18th, 1926, Jesus explains this. And this was not just about any work. So here he's explaining to Louisa about redemption. He says, or this is not about any work of God or a small capital, this income, if you want to say, this money that God is giving to humans. He says, the way we live now is with our human will, it's like a rusty penny. He says, and the divine will is billions of dollars in gold. And he says to us, I want to give back to you what Adam lost. What Adam lost was the image and likeness of God. So through the Holy Church, through holy baptism, we entered God's image. And now with this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, Jesus teaches us how to enter into the likeness of God. So he says, but this work that the second fiat was about the great work of redemption and all the cost of the infinite and incalculable value of the eternal word of God. So here, how important, how beautiful, how powerful, how loving Jesus is, the eternal word. The Father sent Jesus to the earth to redeem the earth with his mother as the new Adam and the new Eve. And it was a unique work, nor could it just this new descent of the eternal word on earth be repeated. It's this uniqueness of God that there's no other faith, there's no other religion that says their God came to earth to redeem, their God came to earth to die for the children. And this is what we have. We have Jesus coming back, taking our place. This is the rebellion of Adam. This is our rebellious human will. And in exchange, giving us his most holy divine will. And after 2,000 years, Jesus says, now, he says, is the time for this to, it was the seed planted in the ground, and now it's the time for this to be born, if you want to say. So therefore, he says, we, the triune God, had to place this life in safety in the most celestial sovereign lady. So this second fiat, the fiat mihi of the Blessed Mother, was placed in Our Lady. She, Theotokos, she is the Mother of God. And since we entrusted everything to the Blessed Mother, even the very life of a God, Our Lady, as our trustworthy one, had to answer for everyone, past, present, and future. So she took the place of all of humanity. And this is the beginning. Without Our Lady, redemption could not have taken place. Her fiat, her yes, brought about this new beginning for humanity. And for the last 2,000 years, we have learned how to do the will of God. And since we've learned the basics, Jesus says, in the Holy Church, now Jesus says, I want to give you this new and divine way of holiness that It's the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam, and the new Eve. Our Lady was responsible for a divine life entrusted to her, as indeed she did. She became our guarantor. God was guaranteed, because of Our Lady, the possibility of being born on earth and taking our place. So the second fiat, when we look at the first fiat of creation, it was God in charge. You know, it's the Lord God Almighty. You know, he fiat lux, let there be light, and the whole universe began. Now with Our Lady's fiat mihi, God became man. The incarnation took place. And now Jesus says, I want humanity to enter into the third and final aspect of this journey back to paradise, back to the garden. This third part was given to Luisa. That is to give her fiat voluntas tua. May your kingdom come and reign in me, she says, on earth, this dust, as it is in heaven. So Luisa says, at that moment, I saw other souls around me. And Jesus went to each soul, and Jesus checked each of them all. And he seemed to touch them to see whether at his touch, this touching of God, if you want to say this, God saying, would you be willing to be the one to embrace this gift of gifts? He seemed to touch them to see whether at his touch, the motion of his divine life would come out. But nothing came out of all of them. And then he came back to me, Jesus, Luisa says. And taking my hand, Jesus squeezed my hand tightly. And at Jesus's touch, listen to this, a light came out of me, Luisa. So here, finally, Jesus says, I have found a soul who I can trust. This touching of God, this new beginning of God for humanity, he finally found a human. And Jesus, all content, told me, this light, Luisa, this light is the motion of the divine life in you, Luisa Picaretta. He went to everybody else in humanity. He went to all the saints, and each one of them did not have this life, this divine life that God was looking for. And I went to the other creatures, as you saw, but I did not find my motion in them. How then could I have entrusted this great capital, this great gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies of my most holy divine will in them? This is why Jesus says, I have chosen you, Luisa, and that is enough. See, he finally found one. And this is why you're going to begin to understand Luisa little by little as Luisa la Santa, Luisa the saint, as Father Bucci would say. Luisa was the saint of the divine will. As Our Lady was the mother, Theotokos, mother of God for redemption, so that God could become man. And the two of them, Jesus and Mary, would be at Calvary, Jesus redeeming humanity, and Our Lady with Jesus on Calvary, co-redeeming with him. And now, after 2,000 years, Jesus says, I have found the newborn. I have found Luisa. This is what's happening to us as well. We are finding Luisa. Our Lord loves us so much that he has predestined us to live at this time. And this time is difficult. The whole world is, we are in this final stage, if you want to say, of entering into this new and divine way of holiness. That's going to happen. It's going to be very powerful. This is the warning. This is the miracle. This is the 3 days of darkness. This is all that we've heard is coming. Is this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies? It's to go back to where Adam was before the fall. And he says to us, so he says this to Luisa. So he made Luisa because of her spiritual directors demanding that she write everything down that Jesus tells her. She didn't want to write this, but this light, this motion of the divine life is in you, Luisa Picaretta. She had to put this down. And she had to put this down. I went to all the other souls, all the other saints, but I did not find my motion, my life, my divine life in them. I found them doing the will of God, but not this new and divine way of holiness. And then he says, so how could I have entrusted this great gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, to any of my saints? This is why I have chosen you, Louisa. And he says, and that's enough. You are the beginning of the new and divine way of holiness for all of humanity. So Jesus is, you know, we have the book of life in heaven with our life written, what God wants us to become, image and likeness of him. And then we have the book of heaven on earth to show us how to and why this is going to happen. As we read the book of heaven, little by little, and this is the great thing, we are all sinners, but little by little, Jesus is leading us closer and closer to him. As he said to his apostles, you must be perfected as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is what the book of heaven helps us to do. If we are faithful in reading and studying and putting this into practice. I've had people say to me, well, I read all 36 volumes. Now what do I do? It's like, you've read it, but you didn't hear anything yet. As you go into each word that Jesus speaks, your life becomes more and more the way God has planned from the beginning of time to be in his image and his likeness, not ours. So on May 19th, then Jesus finally says, be attentive. And again, when I hear be attentive, Jesus is saying to me and to all of us, I really believe, read this, study this book, become one with what I have planned from the beginning of time. That's why there's no rules or regulations in the divine will. I can't tell you this is how it's going to be because I'm reading to what Jesus is showing me. And each of us are different. You have your own irises, your own fingerprints, your own sizes, shapes, your colors. Why? Because Jesus loves our uniqueness. And he's going to uniquely speak to each and every one of us as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice. So as you're reading, you can, as Jesus says, you can have 30%, 60%, or 100%. What do you want? Jesus says, what do you want to possess? I have to give to you what you want. He's given hell to the devil because that's what the devil wants. And if you look around, everybody has received what they want. I mean, if you're working for this earth, the way of the world is going to be, as Jesus says, coming back, he's going to judge the world as Lord, as King, as Master, and with fire. That fire for some will be wailing and grinding of teeth. For others, it will be ecstasy. How can that be? How can there be two different reactions to this fire? Well, the fire is the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It's the love of God, of the love of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve coming down upon earth through the power of the Holy Spirit to consume the world in fire. There's nothing to be afraid of. If our life is for the glory of God, if our life is for to be one with God, when that illumination of conscience happens, we're gonna be refined, if you want to say, as gold is in a furnace, as Scripture tells us, we're gonna be refined because we're going to see our human inadequacies have to be gone. We have to be perfected as our Heavenly Father is perfect. We have to desire and want to be in his image, in his likeness. This is why that fullness isn't here yet, because no one is there yet. We're traveling or journeying to that era where the warning, the miracle, the 3 days of darkness is coming. How it's going to happen and why it's going to happen, we don't know completely because we have to experience this. It's like a present that a parent gives to a child on their birthday. If they said, we're going to give you this, this, and this, and then here it is wrapped up, you know what it is. It's no surprise. I know it's going to be there. It's the same thing for this. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has become aware of the love that God has for his children. No, this love of God that God is going to manifest to his children is going to be a great surprise. The illumination of conscience is going to be a great surprise. And the person that we fool the most is ourselves. I don't know how many times someone will come to confession and they will, like, they will journey too close to the sin, but not confess the sin. They're afraid. The priest isn't there to judge. The priest is there to absolve. That's his job. And the one thing that God gives to the priests is they really don't remember what people have said in the confessional. People come up to me and they say, "Father, when you said this in the confessional, I don't remember saying it," because it's not my job to remember. It's my job is to absolve. That it's important that people confess. So somebody, I mean, this is a bad example, but somebody can say, "I saw my neighbor's gate opened," and I go, "Well, that's not a sin." "Well, I went through the gate," and I go, "Well, that's not a sin." "Well, their house, I went into their house." I said, "Well, that's not, this is getting serious. Why did you go into the house?" "Well, because I went there to steal something." But they were going to just confess, "I walked into the gate. I saw the gate open." So you have to see, the unconfessed sin is the unforgivable sin. Basically, it's not, you're not confessing it. If you know you went in and robbed the building next door, and you don't say that, how can you be forgiven for something that you can't confess? And that's what the illumination of conscience is going to do. The illumination of conscience is going to show in detail how, when you committed a sin, how it affected the entire world. It's like throwing a stone into a pond. As this rippling effect goes out, how it affected everyone. Sin begets sin. And when we confess, this is why what Jesus is asking the little children, the holy divine will to do is to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, to help everyone at that time, at that moment of illumination of conscience, to say, "Yes, I want to repent of this. I want to repair this. I want to redo this," as if it never happened. And that's why Jesus says, when the divine will reigns on earth as it is in heaven, it's going to look as if Adam never sinned. That's the prayer to the Holy Spirit. "Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics. Enkindle us the fire of your love." That's the divine will. "Send forth your spirit and we will be recreated. Then you, Holy Spirit, will renew the face of the earth through us." So that's what's coming. It's a new and divine way of holiness. And it's very close. It's very, very close. You have to understand. I talked to this priest the other day, and he basically said, "Oh, we've got 1,000 years to be here. 1,000 years. And Jesus will come back in 1,000 years. And, you know, then everything was, we'll wrap everything up." And it's like, do you understand the time we're living in? We're killing 70,000 babies legally. 70 million babies legally in the United States. How many people have been killed by euthanasia in hospitals? Do we understand where we're living? Do we understand this time that we're in? When Our Lady said to Father Gobi in 1997, everything's done, everything's completed. Here it is in the book. And when we read Father Gobi, what Our Lady said to Father Gobi, everything that Our Lady showed him in the 70s is happening right now. When we listen to Our Lady of Revelation in Rome, Italy, when she speaks to Bruno, "Time has now come to an end." She's not playing games. Time is now coming to an end. This era, this 6,000 years of Lucifer running the world, if you want to say, as prince of this world, is coming to an end. The kingdom is coming on earth as it is in heaven. And that's why God has given us the book of heaven. As we read this, as we study this, as we enter into this gift, we're preparing ourselves for this great event that's coming, when the kingdom of God comes on earth as it is in heaven. And that's the joy of knowing that the one who was banished from heaven will be banished from earth. Why? Heaven's coming to earth, and God isn't going to change his plan. And what does that mean, heaven is coming to earth? The evil one will be banished not only from earth, not only from our solar system, but the evil one will be banished from the universe. And the universe will finally begin to live that life that God originally planned for Adam, in his children, to be in God's image and likeness in the universe, the whole universe. So it's not just about the earth. It's about what God has planned, where a day will be like 1,000 years, 1,000 years will be like a day. So in volume 19, May 31st, 1926, Jesus says, my celestial mother also possessed the unity of the light that Jesus says that you, Louisa, have. You weren't the first. My mother had this. And this is why more than the sun in the sky, Our Lady can give light to all of her children. That's why we pray the Holy Rosary every day. So John Paul II, St. John Paul II, and many saints have said the most powerful prayer next to the Holy Mass is the Holy Rosary. And when we pray the Holy Rosary each day, our memory becomes of the new Adam, Jesus, and of the new Eve, Mary. Our memory becomes of what did they do? How did they live? And how we are called by God Almighty to enter into this image and likeness of the new Adam and of the new Eve. Who possesses this life, Jesus says, is Louisa, the newborn, the firstborn. So God is so happy, so joy-filled that he has given this gift to Louisa, that his love is given out to all of humanity. That's why when we look at the saints, when like Dina Bellinger, when Jesus said to her, you're going to die on this day. And she told the sisters, you know, I'm going to die on this day. And the sisters all get ready for her death and nothing happens. And 2 weeks later, Jesus appears to sister, Leontina Balachar. And she says, I guess I misunderstood you. You said I was going to die. And as you can see, I'm not dead. And Jesus says, no, you are dead. You are in heaven. From the moment I said you would die, you were in heaven. I am your divine substitute. Now that isn't the divine will. That's just the overflowing of God's love that he gave to Louisa to get us ready to understand this divine substitute is what we have to enter into. The whole reason for the divine will is that we can be in his image and likeness, Our Lady's image and likeness. Not just that they're far away 1,000 miles and we're praying, I help me. The help has been given. It's to enter into their likeness, their image and likeness. So when Jesus says, you'll do far greater miracles than I, how can we do far greater miracles than God? It's because God in us is going to do that. When people say to me, well, I'm doing divine acts and the divine will, I'm going, no, you're not. You can't. A human can't do divine acts. Jesus and you can. Our late Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, can bring about this new and divine way of holiness in you, but you can't do this. That's why that surrender, when we look at Our Lady, she was so docile, so submissive, so surrendered to God. That's what God is calling us to do. This is why more than sun, Our Lady can give this divine light, this divine life to all of her children. So Jesus says, it was never nighttime, nor was there ever a shadow between the Blessed Mother and the Supreme Majesty of God, but always full daylight. This is why when you read the book, the book written by the Vatican, the Son of My Divine Will, it's very clear. The Vatican wants us to know that this daylight, this full daylight, is found in Louisa. The Son of My Divine Will is Louisa Picaretta. The Son of My Divine Will is Louisa Picaretta. That's what the Vatican has written. And when you read this, you begin to understand they have read this. They have studied this, know what's coming. That's why there's no doom or gloom in the divine will. Yes, there's going to be some interesting things happening. Yet our trust, our confidence is in God. What did Jesus say to St. Faustina? The final devotion that I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I have confidence in you. You're my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King. And what happens at that point? God draws those souls to Him in front of the Blessed Sacrament, where we see God in the monstrance. And we adore Him, and we love Him, and we praise Him, we thank Him, we bless Him. We fall deeper and deeper in love with God each time we're in front of the Blessed Sacrament. God is preparing us. And it's up to us. I mean, what do we want? 30, 60, or 100%? What do we want? 10%? Well, I've read all 36 volumes. That might be 1%. You not only read, but you have to study this. You have to, what is Jesus saying? What does Jesus basically command Louisa through her spiritual director to put down on paper? What is Jesus really saying? Listen to what he says. There was never a nighttime in Our Lady. There was never a shadow between Our Lady and the Supreme Majesty of God. When you look at the Blessed Mother, what did she say to Bruno in 1947? She said, I am the daughter of the Father. I am the mother of the Son. I am the spouse and temple of the Holy Spirit. Who is this Blessed Mother that half the Christians don't want to even admit? Theotokos, she's the Mother of God. That's why what is in the church, it's so great that God has asked us to be Catholic. It's so great that we listen to our dogma and doctrine, you know, enter into this, what God is getting ready for His Holy Church is this new and divine way of holiness that Pope St. John Paul II prophesied about. So it was full daylight in the Blessed Mother. Therefore, in each instant, in this unity of the light of my divine will, which made the whole of divine life flow within Mary, which brought her these oceans of light, oceans of joy, oceans of happiness, oceans of divine knowledges, these oceans of beauty, oceans of glory, oceans of love. That's Our Lady. And what she wants is she wants us to dive into these infinite oceans of light and joy and happiness and knowledges and beauty and glory and love that she possesses. As Theotokos, as Mother of God. It shows you also the humility of our God. Our God wanted to have a mother. I mean, and so what does He do? He gives us our natural mother, and those that have been adopted, we have an adopted mother, natural mother, adopted mother. And then what does He do? He gives us His mother as our mother. And then when we get to know Louisa, little Mama Louisa, He gives us another mother. He's so much in love with this maternity that He wants us to be part of, that He gives us many mothers. At least three. And He asks us, I mean, He asks us to begin to embrace what Our Lady possesses. You know, we embraced what our mother possessed. Now we're embracing what Our Lady possessed. And now the little mama of the divine will, as Jesus says, my second mama, little Louisa. Why does He want us to possess this? It's the divine life flowing within Mary. The divine light of joys and happiness, of knowledges, of beauty, of glory, of love. That's Our Lady. So again, when we pray the Holy Rosary, God is asking us to enter into a deeper and deeper relationship with Him and His love for His mother. And Our Lady, as though in triumph, brought all these oceans of love, of glory, of beauty back to her Creator as her own. Why? To attest to God, triune God, her love, her adoration, to charm God with her divine beauty. And the divinity made flow yet even more and more of these new and beautiful oceans, these seas of love flow within Our Lady. Again, Theotokos, Mother of God. You know, we love our mothers. What Jesus is asking is that we begin to love Mary the way He loves her, to begin to love the little newborn, Louisa Picaretta, as He loves her. This is a glorious time to be alive. It really, really is. And our Lord is asking us, pleading with us to begin to live this abundant life. He needs us to cooperate. He really does. And if we can cooperate, I can guarantee you it's going to be glorious, to say the least. So in volume 19, July 8th, 1926, Jesus says, I, as God, want to purify the earth in order to prepare the dwelling place for my children. We haven't seen anything yet. The earth is going to be purified. That's why when this fire from heaven comes down, it will be ecstasy for some. But as our lady says, it will be for most a wailing and grinding of teeth. How do we know this? Why this big difference? Because the majority want the earth, and the earth is going to be consumed in fire. Consumed in the fire of the love of God. Those that want God will be consumed in the burning love of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, which will be ecstasy. We see the ecstasy in the images of St. Teresa of Avila or St. Catherine of Siena being shot with the arrows of love into their hearts. God says, I want to purify the earth in order to prepare the perfect dwelling place for my children. That's heaven. And then he says, Luisa, you will always be with me. My will, my divine will shall always be your starting point, even your littlest act. Okay. Your blinking of your eye, your breath, your heartbeat, everything, Jesus says, that I have placed in my children is going to, with this great gift of the divine will be your starting point. Even in your sleep, Jesus says, we're going to sleep in the divine will for a time, and then the new era comes. My will shall always be your starting point, because even in the littlest things, my divine will wants to have its divine life. My divine will wants to have its beginning and its end. Nor, Jesus says, does it tolerate that the human will may make its little appearances into the kingdom. The human will is not going to exist, I shouldn't say exist, have life in the divine will. Jesus said, I made the human will for God. God wants to be, he says, why did I give you your human senses, your sight, your sound, your voice, your hearing? Why did I give you this? He says, this for God. God wants to gaze in our gazing. God wants to speak in our speaking. God wants to listen in our listening. He wants us to participate in his likeness, not our fallen human nature. So the human will was made for God. He says, I made the universe for humanity. You got this interesting thing that what's coming, just so that you know, I mean, this is, I think, what God is asking. When he says, go to all nations, it doesn't necessarily mean the nations of the earth. It could mean the nations of the universe. See, we have been redeemed by God. Jesus says, there are others that I must go to. And the one interpretation could be that our job as followers of Jesus, our Lord, our Master, our King, our Savior, followers of the Queen of Heaven and Earth, Mary, the Blessed Mother, it could mean that go to all nations could possibly mean, just think about it, going to all the universe. He said that. He said to Luisa, he says, I made the universe for man. Jesus would take Luisa on tours of the universe every night when she would fall asleep. And this rigidity that she was in, only a priest could get her out of it by saying, what? With a blessing, Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One. And by blessing Luisa, she would come back to her senses. And her socks, that's the funniest thing, had holes in them. And when you look at the, you know how when you have a white pair of socks and you walk outside in the mud, they're stained. Even no matter how much you wash them, they're not pure white anymore. They've got dirt on the bottom, mud, proving that Jesus showed her the universe, proving that Jesus showed her that the universe was hers. It's It's ours. So again, Jesus says, God wants his divine life, the beginning and the end of the divine will reigning in the human. And he says, I will not tolerate, he says, the human will to even begin to appear in the kingdom. It's going to be God's will, one with him, fused with him. As Adam lived before the fall, as Our Lady lived on earth, as Jesus lived on earth, it's to enter into the new and divine way of holiness that God originally planned from the beginning. And he's asking all of us, he's asking us, are you willing to begin to live this abundant life? And when we say yes, he goes, okay, you got to prove it. You got to pass the test. How do we prove that we want this new and divine way of holiness? Well, the first thing is Jesus gives us the book of heaven. And he asks us, would you begin to read this? And when we begin to read this and study this and learn how and why this is going to happen, it's a beginning. And then everything in our life changes. Our intellect, we begin to see things from a divine perspective because Jesus is teaching us. He's given us lessons every day. If we're reading the calendar, he's teaching us every single day. And this is why we're happy when we read. He gives us a taste of heaven, a touch of heaven as we read the book of heaven. It's just really, it's glorious. And then what happens after that? It's he leads us to himself in front of the Blessed Sacrament, where we've been trained to pray our prayers or read some books in front of the Blessed Sacrament. St. Teresa says, if you can't fall in love with God, read something to help you fall in love, but focus on him, not what you're reading. And so it's very, very clear that God gives us the book of heaven and we can read it in front of the Blessed Sacrament. But when we read, we have to look at him, to adore him, to praise him, to thank him, to glorify him for what he is offering to us. And he says, I want to help you change from your miserable human will, which we pray. I mean, our human will is what we say when we go to confession. This is what I thought, what I said, what I did, what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this. I want to enter into God's will. I want to begin to live the way Jesus lived, the way Mary lived, the new Adam and the new Eve, which they breathed into Louisa. It's a new and divine way of holiness that our God is offering to us. And as you enter into this gift, as we begin to pray the way Jesus prayed, that's the rounds. As you pray the way Mary prayed, that's the rounds. We pray the way Adam innocent prayed before the fall. That's the round of creation, where we begin to recognize all the I love yous of creation. Every leaf on a tree, every blade of grass, every grain of sand is an I love you to us. We are overwhelmed by the love of God. That's paradise. To be in awe of God in all of eternity. To be in awe of God in what he has created for us. That's the universe. All that's on earth. And then what Jesus is asking of us is to enter into this gift and then to stay there. He says to Louisa, I want you to dive into this infinite ocean of love and drown. I never want you to leave. I want you to always be one with me in my divine love. That's heaven on earth. And that's why when you read the book of heaven, I get people calling this. I just found out what the divine will is. Well, tell me what you found out. And it's like in volume 7, I said, that's volume 7. That's how to do the will of God to become a divine mirror of Jesus. Well, and here in volume 15, that's how to live the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, here in volume 25, that's how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. And it's just the beginning. It's like repainting a house, repaint a black house with white. You know, you paint it and then all of a sudden it becomes gray. You paint it again and all of a sudden you have to discipline yourself to read, reread, study, enter into this gift. And for all the eternity, God's going to show us who he is, and we're never going to fully embrace who he is. He's Lord God Almighty, holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts. And he's asking us, do you want to enter into this awe of God, as St. Thomas Aquinas says, the eternal awe of God? Jesus says, he says, I'm not going to let the human will make its appearance into the kingdom of God. Otherwise, you would often go out of the kingdom of God and enter into your human will, which would disennoble you. He's going to bring us back to be clothed in divinity. He says, I want to clothe you with the royal garments of heaven. This is why we wear the scapular. Jesus says, this is the clothing of heaven. It's just the beginning. God is going to clothe us in divinity. Adam was naked because he lost the clothing of nobility. He disennobled himself by doing his human will. And this is not at all befit the soul, Louisa, or the children of Louisa, who must live in the kingdom of my divine will. God has great plans, and he needs us to cooperate. So he says in volume 19, August 1st, 1926, now having entrusted to you, Louisa, the secret of my most holy divine will, my most holy divine will being the essential part of the divine life, I would not know what to give you that is greater than this. And that's what he's giving to us. The divine will is the essential part of divine life. This new and divine way of holiness that God has promised us through Pope St. John Paul II. Jesus says, I couldn't give you anything greater than this. This is the gift of gifts. This is the prodigy of prodigies. Our Lord is waiting for us to say yes. Our Lord is waiting for us to embrace this 100%, but he's not going to force us. When time comes to an end, when time is going to come to an end, this era is coming to an end. The new era is going to begin. We're not going to be trapped in time and space. Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947, my children are going to enter the eternity where they belong. They're going to enjoy the beatific vision, where the devil and his children will always be trapped in time and space and never be able to enjoy the beatific vision. Great things are coming. And our Lord is going to, when time comes to an end, wherever you are, 10%, 30%, 60% is where you're going to stay. That's it. And for all eternity, you're going to long for God from that percentage that you've wanted on earth. Jesus explains this to Louisa very clearly. So may the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray that this infinite strength that God wants to anoint us with begin to reign in us on earth as it is in heaven. We pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.